Okay, so welcome everyone. January 19th, Kick-Ass Q&A. Next weekend, Tim's going to be joining us here in Mallorca. I'm glad that you're coming this far. That's good. It's not his fault he's living in sunshine right now.
It's a little dark outside at the moment.
Yeah, okay, but what's the average daily temperature?
About 30 degrees.
Okay, and in the winter?
Maybe 18.
Nice.
Yeah,
Nice.
it's not bad. It's not horrible.
Not bad at all.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's no European summer.
What do you mean it's not European summer? What's better about European summer or worse? Or different?
Oh no, we're not sitting on an island in Mallorca.
You got 30 degrees as an average daily temperature. That's not bad, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Humidity's good. But
Okay.
yeah, it's beautiful over here, man. Coastline, can't beat it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Salt water everywhere, it's great.
Okay. Okay, so Robin asked a really good question in the Facebook group, which is what comes up when adjusting a person with an organ transplant, right? And what's our approach to that? And so I'd had several before, but then when I got sort of more clued in philosophically, I started doing somersaults in my brain, trying to figure out, thinking, okay, look, if what they're taking they're taking immune suppressors to not reject the organ. And if what we do makes the immune system work better, is that going to reject the organ more? Right? Does that make sense or not? And so I'm like, oh, fuck, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Right? And so I called up a mentor of mine, Cliff Harnick, who's got double the experience that I do, both in terms of years and probably triple the number of adjustments that I got. And I'm like, doing my head in, and like, and he's like, it's gonna make their body work better. Like, quit fucking like torturing yourself. Don't worry about it. Just adjust them and help them have their body work better. I'm like, okay, fine. And it's true. And it's true. And since then, I've had people with heart transplants, kidney transplants. What else? I don't know, maybe that's it, but yeah. And so the deal is the point of it is for us to get to where we're not being stupid and reckless, okay? Where we're not ignoring, thank you, Lord, where we're not ignoring limitations that we have to do when we're adjusting segments. It's not that, but also not limiting the body's in our minds, not having limited concepts in our minds of what the brain and body can adapt to and usefully use the information that we're inputting. Right? So we want to be comfortable in the I can help you, not reckless and stupid, not just be eating, oh yeah, adjust, bam, 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 hammer, 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 not that. Adjust with appropriate force, but also don't take away any miracle possibilities of anything. Right? Okay. So, talk to me, people. What wonderful things have happened in your practice over the course of the week, the course of the year, the course of anything? Tell me wonderfulness stories. Anybody?
I can go. It's
Good. Thank you, Ale.
been a while, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Good.
Good.
So we did the campaign of AMA, Aspiramama Africa, and it's going really well for us.
Oh,
We
good.
sold around 42 tickets. We stopped it officially, but like we sold this one this morning, for instance, until the end of January. And I've started doing the first visit basically this week. This week we had like 12 news, something like that. And next week we have 10 news.
Excellent.
And people are starting and they're happy. And so, yeah, that's my win for this start of the year.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Good job.
Yeah.
So who else? Oh, and by the way, I say it again, Friday night, those of you who are coming here, the restaurant that his friend is running is really good. I'm not going because I got to cook for a bunch of degenerates who come into my house the following day. But yeah, really good restaurant, really nice. Whether they can handle 50 people at once or 30 people or whatever it is, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe they'll collapse. We'll see if they got capacity or not.
Yeah.
But they're good. The food is good. So you may have to wait. But it'll probably be worth it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So glad what you liked it.
Who else? Tell me some wonderfulness. Oh, there is no wonderfulness. Wonderfulness does not exist. We live in a wonderfulness-free world. Go on, Tim.
It sounds like
my new practice, but I don't know how to activate the real video. I can show you some pictures.
Well, now it's just a frozen picture of you.
I don't know how to get the real camera on the.
Well, I don't know how to tell you how to do it either. But so tell us the wonderfulness.
Okay.
Just tell us the wonderfulness.
The wonderfulness is I got my first patients today. I got two other friends. I adjust them today and Monday.
Okay, I'll tell you something wonderful. It'll be wonderful when you get good internet. Okay? Okay, so I apologize, Uta. I would love to hear wonderful stories, but I can't hear a fucking thing you're saying, and your screen keeps freezing. So I celebrate your wonderfulness, and I pray for the future that good bandwidth will be coming to you, that the gods of the World Wide Web Information Superhighway bless you with lots of megs. Okay, Tim, go ahead.
I had a just a young boy come in. He's got a type of cerebral palsy, and he's the mum had called up the staff that day, and it just sort of said, "Oh, look, my boy, I need him adjusted today." You know, the classic call up. He needs to be adjusted on that first visit. You know, you got to do everything, and sort of just calling the shots. But she was concerned for him, so I respect that. And you know, we brought him in, and he needed some films, and he just. Yeah, it was fine. Anyway, got him back the next day, started care. And I just sort of gave it to her straight. Like I wasn't being rude to her, but I just sort of said, here's what I can do to help you, you know, structurally, stuff like that up here. It's a long way from the foot, but you know, this is how I can help you. And if you'd like my help, we can do that, you know. And so we adjusted him, and just his eyes lighting up for the first time after being adjusted was just beautiful. And like it was, yeah, I was as far away from his foot as possible, you know. I was in his atlas, and you know, he came back a couple of days later for his report, and you know, we gave his report, and I just told him where he's at, and he signed up for care, and it was like the last thing, hadn't even sort of, not rudely so, but sort of hadn't even asked him on it because it wasn't a focus for us to ask, and I was just like, oh, my foot's better, and it was, you know, just beautiful, hadn't even gone there, and you know, he was in for a, you know, better results faster or mandatory pre-care class or anything like that. He was in there, and we had a few others in there, and it was just great to be a part of it for him, you know, just his eyes, and made a difference to him. And it was a nice story, and it's just, yeah, just shows how, yeah, it was just good to be a part of.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. So yeah. We've got a challenging thing happening in practice right now, which is that we've got a blended family of a guy who's a widower, who's got a 12, let's say they're both 12 years old, right? And he's married, or he's with a woman who's got a 12-year-old as well. And so the father has a male child and the mother has a female child, and the kid, the boy, is super high levels of ADHD and not functioning very well. And he just lost his mother 2 years ago. And there's and the stepmother is horribly abusive to the kid, putting him down and, you know, making fun of him and insulting him and, you know, in front of everyone, right? And the kids are coming in and they're both loving care. So the parents are not in care. It's just the kids. And they're loving care. And the parents are, and so they've gone through the first phase of care. And there's been, so the kid's been a chronic bedwetter, and that stopped. And he's doing better in school, but not great. And they're like, oh, he's not well yet, right? Like, we're disappointed because he's not well yet, which we know is a completely unrealistic expectation in terms of, you know, 6 weeks of care, 12 weeks of care, whatever it is, right? That happened that way. And so he's not better yet. And so we're going to stop care because we got to, you know, save our money to pay for our wedding that's coming up, right? And so that dynamic sucked a lot of energy from my team for a couple of days. Like, you know, what are we going to do? And basically we had one of the DCs and also Tech CA have conversations with the parents of, look, and it's, again, not trying to be rude, but your kid is better. This is the only thing that's helping. If you stop, you know, that's irresponsible parenting. You do whatever you want. We're just telling you what it is. And so it's just putting those things in context, explaining the progress, explaining time, explaining the traumatic situation that they live in. And then the challenge is to not take it personally, whether they accept or reject. It's just to do the best job possible, explaining the benefits, and then stepping away from being tied to the result. But the success in that is seeing my team with coaching be able to be much more confrontational with people about speaking our truth. And yeah, to a very loving but in your face way. Like, no, we're not going to be polite liars here. We're not going to, no, it's not okay. Like we're not, oh, okay, it's your kid, you do whatever you want. Right? Like, this is what has to happen. But you do whatever you want. Obviously, you do whatever you want, but we're not going to step away from our truth. And then the challenge to you, Tim, is to a lot of times we stay, like, cerebral palsy. You didn't mention in the intro that it was about the foot, right? But then it came up later. So it's about the foot for them. Mm. And then you're explaining your story and they sign up for care, which is a win,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then he had to volunteer the info about the foot, right?
True. Yep. True.
Okay. I would say that bit's a fail, right? Now, what we need to do is we need to have some way to touch base about the foot without having it be about the foot, because sometimes they won't even, because they've already heard the other stuff about, it's not about the foot, 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 it's the atlas, it's the atlas, it's not about the foot, right? Then they'll go, mm-hmm. Oh, but I didn't say anything about the foot because you told me to not say anything about the foot. Mm-hmm. When the foot's a win. So we need to make it safe for them to talk about it, but also safe for us to not have it become, again, okay, let me mash some more. It's not about the foot. It's not about the foot. It's not about the foot. But you just asked me about the foot, right? You know, like that. It needs mm-hmm. to be, you know, oh, and by the way, have you noticed anything? Have there been any changes since, right? Yeah. Not that we're expecting changes from the anecdotally, I just wanted to check in what's going on.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Any changes like that, yeah. And making it safe that way. And that's a big, big step, because then it opens up the people get better from chiropractic care. Mm. We're so weird about everything having to be, we're so, it takes so much energy for us to stay focused on service and the adjustment and all the rest of it, that any sort of thing that's out there that triggers us pulls us away from that. We want to stay in our beautiful story and helping them transform. And then we get nasty with them because they don't completely understand what it is that we're talking about right from the beginning, right? And so we've got to make it more open and easy and loving and easily carried. Is that making sense?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So congratulations. Good job. So who else? Good stuff going on.
Yeah.
People.
Hey, Nathan. Mark.
Hello, Nathan.
Snowing, or it did snow.
Is that a good thing?
Nah.
To me, that's a bad thing. Oh, you're just making small talk. Okay. I'm not interested in small talk, Nathan. What's going on that's good?
All right. I had a guy from Polish that works for the Porsche Performance. He does car fixing and stuff like that. He came in without a kidney. They like just butchered his body. He's like just scars all over his stomach everywhere, zigzags. It's crazy. And he's been with us for 3 weeks now. And massive improvements.
Like what?
He was like a real hunch over, and now he's standing up, he's working, and he sent all his buddies over, his wife. They're sending their wives. It's everyone's taking treatment plans. It's beautiful.
Good. So what were you thinking when he came in with all those scars and complaining about whatever he was complaining about? What were you thinking in your head?
I was just thinking about where I can help, and that was it. I was like, I'm just going to do what I can do, and we'll leave it at that. And
so what was he complaining about? Like, what was his chief complaint, his presenting complaint?
Lower back pain was, chief complaint.
Okay. And so did you say anything to him about that and other stuff? Or like, what was your telling the story part, your messaging part there at the beginning with him? Why is your care relevant to this guy who has his low back pain and he's got his kidney stuff?
Well, he was really sick of the medical world because they were showing him x-rays and messing up the story. So it was just he came to me kind of like in last desperation, so to speak. Tried everything out.
Okay, I get all that, but what's different about your care from all the other care that he's received? What's he going to understand that's different about your care?
I just say that I'm just going to restore health. We're going to make sure that your body can heal itself again. That's it.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Good job, Nathan. So who else?
I've been working with the PAs that I manage on referral conversations and just putting themselves out there a bit more. And it's starting to show. It's small, but I think the biggest win for me is that they're engaged in the process. I think their biggest barrier has been they don't want to get it wrong and make a fool of themselves in some way. And so a few of them have really stepped up in that way. And we're seeing.
Okay, hang on, Alex. So they don't want to get it wrong, meaning they don't want to get pushback from one of you guys that you fucked it up, or they don't want to be embarrassed in front of the practice members, or they're
that
not
one.
Comfortable. Okay, and they're not comfortable in their scripting and their messaging. Like they just don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So how did you overcome that for them? Or how did you help them work through that?
So I've been seeing the three peak shifts in Clevedon. And I just started emailing after every shift the conversations I had, the ones that went well, the ones that I fucked up, what I was learning from it, and asked them to do the same.
Okay. So give me some examples.
Of what I'm sending them?
Or of the conversations. Yeah, what you're sending them. Like. So hang on, back up a little bit. So you've been CAing, which you don't usually do, but you've been CAing in Clevedon.
Yeah.
And you're having conversations with practice members. And there's stuff that you do right and there's stuff that you do wrong. And you're just doing how many sort of anecdotes per day? Are you doing it every day? Every day that you're on shift?
Yeah, I've started doing it every day now. It wasn't before, but it is now. Okay. Just because I'm trying to hold them accountable to them doing it every day. So
okay, excellent. Excellent by example. And so how many anecdotes will be in there?
depends a little bit on the shift, but probably between 4 and 8.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, that's excellent.
From like a 3.5 hour shift, so in a day.
Okay. And how long is the can you share that, any of that right now or not?
Yeah.
Hang on, no, you can't because you're not on you're not co-host, but I'll make you co-host in just 1 second. And then you can screen share if you want.
Yeah, let me find it.
Okay.
So yesterday, let me find it now.
This is really, really, really good. Okay, and I'm not saying that emailing, because I mean some of you have one CA or no CAs, right? That's not the point. The point is reflective learning. The point is taking what happened and analyzing what it's deep thinking, it's deep work. It's that guy's, what the fuck is the name of that guy's book that writes about the tennis players and the guy that bounces the golf ball on the thing. What's his name? Anyway, whatever. It's the one that we did Vital Experience in Wales about. It's that book. Fuck,
what's it? Yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah, okay.
So screen. Okay. So this was yesterday's mid shift and PM shift. So got you guys in front of it. So Larry asked him about how his wife is. I don't know, do you want me to just read it out?
I'll call you back in a second.
Yeah, just read it out. I mean, okay, you guys can read it as well, but sure. So Larry asked where his wife is, then asked if she'd been to a Cairo before. He said she suggested but she didn't want to, but he has a friend, Vicky. So I gave him a referral card and offered him a call for his wife, because we talked about his wife quite a bit. Simon, this was not a good one. I asked about his wife, and he said she'd already been. So that was a bad one. He'd just been.
Okay, brilliant though. Brilliant that you write that. Okay. Yeah. As opposed to, oh, I did everything perfect. Nothing can come back on me. No. You know, it's like, no, this is my fuck up.
Yeah. And then Annette just asked friends and family. She said they'd already been. I spoke to them more about that one a bit because I could have done a lot better on that one than just, okay, and moved on. Alan, I told him his wedding, he had a load of rings on. I said his wedding ring was nice. I asked him his wife's name, asked if she'd like to come for check up with Julia. He said she's outright refused, but agreed that he can keep going. So he's seeing it as a win. Christina doesn't speak much English.
What's on the referral card?
It says, I've asked for personalized ones. I don't like them. I think they look too corporate. But it basically says your loved ones can come in for a consultation report or file complimentary consultation and report of findings and new patient class. And then it has like Julia's business card on there and then more information on the back. They look
so
nice, but
so it's not a card. It's more than a card. It's like a pack or something. And you put something
no,
in.
No, it's literally like an A5 card, but like cardboard thick.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And Christina doesn't speak much English at all. She's gets a taxi to and from us. And kind of runs in, lies on the bench, runs out. But her son is brought every so often, so I just gave her a card and said it's for your son. So I'll ask her next time. I asked her how her week was going, talked about her job, asked what her husband does for a job. He's a gardener, suggested he comes in to get checks and gave a referral card for him. He then actually came in after I'd sent this email, and I talked to him a bit more, but I'll wait till next time to speak to him a bit once I've just built more relationship with him. So part of this as well, that what we're doing is we're putting notes on next appointments as far as who we spoke to about what, so the next time it comes up, regardless of who's there.
Fuck me, this is brilliant, Alex. This is really, really, really good. So how are you doing this in Practice Hub?
Just notes on appointments. Sometimes notes on the sticky note. So I am putting on the sticky note, I'm putting the like permanent patient note. I'm saying had referral conversation or gave card for this person and then the date, just so we keep a track on that.
Okay.
But if it's a specific conversation, so there's one later on, I can't remember, but she said, oh, I'm going to speak to my husband about it. So then I've put a note on the next appointment to say, oh, what did he say? Or
yeah. Okay. Alex, fucking brilliant.
Yeah, thanks.
Seriously. And everybody, so I'm going to get out of this so you can quit sharing the screen.
Yeah.
Okay. That is so good. And we need to have that level of follow-up if we want to. Now, there's other people that don't want to do this. Like, look, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to show up and adjust. That's fine. How are you going to get people in front of you? If you want to grow, somebody needs to be pushing people in front of you, right? So what Alex is working on the CAs pushing people in front, but she's willing to do it. She's leading it, and she's leading it by example, right? Versus the doc who's just like, I don't want to have any conversation with anybody. I just want to show up and adjust. Unless you are doing some kind of miracle adjustment where people's cancers are falling off their face in two visits, you have to talk to them somehow. And if you're not talking to them somehow, it's a fail. There's got, and for those of you who are high introverts, I'm sorry, you got to have your rest time outside of practice or whatever, but somehow you got to have some communicating process with people so that they understand, because they're coming in with this completely other paradigm. They're coming in with, what are they coming in with? I want to get cracked twice. I mean, what Tim said, I want to get adjusted today and I want to feel better right now, right? That's what they're coming in with. And so we got to sell them something they don't want. And the way that we reach them is by making it fucking brilliant. Okay. So good job, Alex. Thank you. So who else? I've been very protective. Hang on a second. Go ahead. You want to say something else?
I was just going to say, she's not on the call, so I'm going to do the win for her. But Julie's just really grown and is super engaged in everything she can do to grow her practice. And example of that yesterday was, as a part of those conversations we were having, a guy brought his son in and said, oh, he's actually got a stiff neck today. And Julia hates being late. She's super on time and quite structured. And so she runs at 5 and 15, but if she has a stack of back-to-back 5 and 15s, she'll probably run a little bit over. So she had a 5 and 15, then straight into a new patient, straight into 5 and 15, and he was a part of that 5 and 15. I said, oh, I'm sure Julia can check him today quickly. And she was about to come out and adjust, so I just popped back and said, just so you know, I've said that you can check Jacob's neck really quickly as well in that 5 and 15. And she was just like, okay, let's do it. Let's go. And for me, that was just such a sign of growth for her, that she was just straight in and ready to go. And so, yeah.
So there's been enough time now, decompression time. Mm-hmm. I know that there's certain docs that are engaged, Willow docs that are engaged, and certain that are definitely not engaged in kick-ass, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. I haven't let people into the Facebook group. I'm willing to do that now. We can have a conversation maybe later this weekend or something. Are you off the grid after 5 o'clock on Friday, or?
Well, I'm actually off the grid this weekend after this call.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I want to start including people, but not changing the dynamic of the energy in the group. Okay. So I want to be selective about who, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. Okay. We'll have that conversation in private. Okay. So who else? Anything else? Wins? Okay.
I can talk about my experience of getting new patient.
Good.
So I had some wins and some experiences, let's say. So I've been trying to, so I'm an introvert, so I realized by going out that I always try to go from out to inside. Okay, so I've been printing.
What do you mean you try to go from out to inside? I don't understand what you mean.
I try always to avoid direct confrontation. Okay. I always try to go around, so, which is stupid, but that's it.
You talking about confrontation or any human contact?
Yeah, human contact.
Okay, human
contact.
I'm
a bear. Like, okay. I'm a bear, but not that one. Like,
okay. You're the hibernating bear?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So I printed flyers, put them on cars. Took me half a day. That was me spending energy outside. I was like, oh, I need to spend energy outside. So I was like, yeah, get crazy and raise your energy. And so I did that. And the moment I finished, I received like a WhatsApp. And that was actually gay porn. So that was the feedback from Universe for putting shitty flyers on cars. So that was one of the feedback. And on the other hand, I've been handing
just be
flyers.
Spam. Don't take it as a message, okay? It's not the God speaking to you, okay? Okay, but anyway, go
kind
on.
Of.
Okay, so shitty flyers on cars, okay? All right.
Doesn't work. Very bad idea. But that was me spending my energy and wanted to raise my energy, right?
Okay.
So then I've been to the shops in the neighborhood, did like maybe 3-4 blocks, and I had one patient coming from that, which is much more efficient, cost me a lot more energy, but much more efficient. Putting flyers in the buildings, so asking to the people, you know, like concierge, like the guy down there. And
what?
Yesterday I had
what
a lady, 95 years old. She's going to start care next week, which is cool. So yeah, and the more I'm here, the more I've got a lot of wall by the street, so I use them like as drawing stuff. So I'm printing posters, putting them outside. It's my way to talk to people kind of indirectly. And I've been elaborating the messages and I think it's getting good. So I will have new print on the wall next week. And
well, when you say print,
people
what do you
coming
mean?
In.
Mathieu. When you say print, what do you mean?
Like banners.
Okay, so stuff that you got to pay for somebody to print up.
Yeah, so they can see from the street. I try
okay.
to make
and
the
how
message
often will
clear
you
for
change
them.
Those? How often will you change those?
These ones are going to stay for a while.
Okay. So I think a rotating message board of some type is a really good idea for people. If you got foot traffic there, for it draws the eye, right? If it's the same thing over and over and over again for months, people just boom, they don't see it. Even if the messaging is brilliant, even if the words are pretty, the thing is pretty, whatever, blah, it's got to be something shifting and changing to stimulate repeated eyeballs on it. And it takes repeated eyeballs to make something happen, right? So it's great that you have that, but then for that person to come in walking by, unless they're like, turn their heads, oh yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for, and I've got time to walk in right now, and I want to know about it, they'll come in, yes, but if those conditions aren't met, then it's, oh, maybe, oh, I'll take a photograph of it, and I'll call them later. And how many of us have done that and not done anything with it, right? And then you look back months later and you're like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to do this thing, right? And I never did it, right? So it needs this constant touch points for people to actually close the deal, right? And so as many different ways that we can reach our public, the better. As many times as we can reach the public, the better, right? So the walking the streets, the changing the message, the social media, the changing the message, driving to a web page. The web page then drives to send us an email for information. Not information. Send us an email for today the Valencia Chiropractic's weekly healthy tip, right? Or something like that, but it needs to not be pesado. It needs to not be boring for people. Like it needs to be something that's actually engaging, right? And so that people, you want returning eyeballs. Whatever gets returning eyeballs on it is a good thing. All right. So sorry, I'm ranting, but go ahead. Good job. Good job.
So anyway, people that step in are happy and start recommending. And I feel like I'm part of the neighborhood now, which is cool. Good feeling.
Good. Congratulations.
So that's my win.
Excellent. So anyone else? Okay, questions.
I have a question around capacity.
Go for it.
I'm trying to write up a document that means it doesn't have to be specific people that are in the business that know about it. And
wait, I did not understand that. You're trying to write up a document. I get that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it has to be specific people in the business that know about it. That I did not understand at all.
It's because it wasn't very clear.
No.
Basically, obviously, Joshua and I graduate in 3 years.
Okay.
So we won't be working in head office anymore.
Okay.
So there's a lot of information that we have, not just capacity, but in general, that we're trying to make sure is documented so that when we move out of the head office team, it's not in our heads.
Okay. So you're trying to make a document about capacity.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're trying to take my teachings and mm-hmm. make a manual out of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I got it now. Okay. All right. And then what you're going to do is you're actually going to share that manual with me because mm-hmm. it's actually my information. But mm-hmm. you've written it out. You've coded it. So that's an important mm-hmm. part.
Okay. So I make it look nice and really pretty.
That's good. That's excellent. That's a really excellent thing.
So
teamwork is dream work, like they say.
Yeah. So I've gone back and I'm not finding all the information I need. And so I'm just going off my memory. And so I want to just sense check it with you. The main bit I'm stuck on is we have half your visit numbers in 5 hours.
Correct.
Does that negate the need for, because it used to be, I think when we first worked together, you need to obviously double the amount of the adjustments.
Yeah, but that math got too complicated and it was way too overwhelming for people.
Okay.
Like it just completely freaked the shit out of people, right? When
yeah.
when you know they're you know then it ends up they're spending 15 minutes with people and they got to do a 70 second adjustment and a 4 minute new patient exam and all the rest of it, and it just did people's heads in. So it's okay. a lot. So sorry. So what's the question?
Well, just so can we remove that basically as long as we
what,
can
the
see
double capacity?
Yeah.
They're saying okay. So there. Okay. So, it's multifactorial. Okay, so 50%, now this is also contingent on, for those of you who are working 12 and 16 hours a week, this does not work. We're talking about a 20 to 25 patient contact hours, not including classes. Patient clinical hours, not including classes, admin work, etc., right? So we're talking 20 to 25 hours, 5 hours a week, 50%. Of goal, okay? Which makes the other 15 to 20 hours a week the other 15%. And in that other 15 to 20 hours per week, you can include your specials, you can include your day one, day two, re-exams, whatever other thing, not classes, classes are outside of hours, right? But any other contact visit hours that you have go into those other 15 to 20 hours per week. Now, in growth phase, if you want to grow from 100 to 120, it's a different deal, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking if you want to go from 100 to 300, right? In the growth phase, you have to have big capacity. So going back to numbers again, making numbers up. I want to get to 200. You're going to sine wave. You're going to go 20% up, 20% down. So a 200 a week practice, and I'm talking about over a quarter, for instance. Not, I'm a 200 a week practice and I hit 185 and in my head, I'm a 200 a week practice. And that was the top of the sine wave. That's the most I ever saw. And I go back to my normal level of 145. Okay. So 200 a week practice, you're going to sine wave between 240, 160 and 240 up and down, right? Which means we need to be able to comfortably see 240 in a week. So 240 a week, let's say 250 a week, right? I got a PVA at 25, right? If I got a PVA at 25, I need to comfortably be able to see 10 news. If I can comfortably see 10 news, I have to comfortably be able to see 10 reported findings as well. Okay. Then in the RX realm, 250 divided by 12, let's say it's 20 re-exams. I need to comfortably be able to do 20 re-exams. Okay. So we got 10 news, 10 reported findings, and 20 re-exams. That's at max capacity. If you're at max capacity, shit's going to start going down from max capacity, right? Now, I understand we boosted it up from 200 to 250, but we need to start in our heads having the concept of bring it on. We want 72 hours from the start of care to the end of their first visit would be ideal. Now, the end of their first adjustment visit, their regular adjustment visit. Right. So we're talking about day one, day two, and first adjustment visit in within a period of about 72 hours. Right. Mm-hmm. And if we're not doing that, if we're pushing off the news, okay, you're going to have news. There's a good aspect of, no, we got a waiting list of a month. If you got a waiting list of a month and you don't want to grow, that's a fantastic thing. If you got a waiting list of a month and you want to get from 100 to 200, you are a complete fuck up and you don't understand capacity. All right. So going back to those numbers then, the 10, 10, and 20, 10 day ones, 10 day twos, 10 re-exams, you need to have another at least five slots in the schedule to not be cramming the schedule down. Okay. Is that making sense or not?
Yeah.
Okay. So with 200 visits a week, then we want to be 100 in 5 hours. 100 in 5 hours is 20 an hour. 20 an hour is 5 and 15. I need to have those 5 and 15 slots that you were talking about for her before, that I need to see 20 of those slots filled up per week. And it can be two at a time or three at a time or whatever. And when I see that in my schedule, I need to go, yes, it's a win, versus, oh, fuck, we're going to get slammed. I'm going to be crushed. It's going to be chaos here. We got to be, and we got to push with cluster booking to make those 20, 15-minute slots actually happen. Like, we need to push like crazy. And if you got a bunch of 2-2-2-3s, 2-1-0-0, oh, there's a five. That's a fail. The 2-2-2-3 is a fail. And if you've got, if you're scheduling five, but you commonly get 1 to 2 cancellations, then that five needs to be a 6 or a 7. Right? And, oh, it's a 6 or 7. I don't like running behind. Okay, then fucking move your ass. Or it's a 6 or 7, yeah, bring it on. Or it's a 6 or 7, and actually 6 or 7 show up, hey, it's a win, and we did it. And yeah, the person had to wait 5 minutes. Who fucking cares? Right? But that's capacity. And if we want, in the growth phase, we have to embrace that mentality. And now, if you want to shrink the practice, control the practice, whatever, then you start doing rules and scheduling and all the rest of it. But at least in the growth phase, it's got to be bring it on, bring me the people, bring me the chaos, bring me the crazy. Going back to Gordon Ramsay's kitchen nightmare model, right? Which is you get a failing restaurant and you find out how bad they're seeing 20 a day. And then on Thursday night, you stick 80 people in there and you see how things collapse. And they always like go boom, you know, their brains blow up, right? And if instead of their brains blowing up, they went, oh, not, and I'm not talking about fantasy land, but they went, oh, we got this. This is a piece of piss. Brilliant food coming out in a timely fashion. Then they're an 80 a week restaurant, an 80 a day restaurant, right? If they can handle it, it's our number is reflective of what we can genuinely handle without the smallest rate limiting factor fucking things up. The lowest linchpin thing of the funnel is going to be the rate limiting factor. And so you can say, oh, you know, scripts, technique, blah, 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 blah. But there's this one thing that screws it up. That one thing that screws it up is going to condition the whole number for everybody. So I don't know. Did I answer your question or not?
Yeah, I think so. I'll go and look at it again. And are you talking 20% either way for the sine wave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Both ways.
Well, yeah.
Both ways, yeah.
And then when do you have two DCs? Well, if you have two DCs working at once in a clinic, would you
recommend
do you line up there? I appreciate you have tech CAs that do specials, but do you line up like where their clusters start or where their specials start? Or
okay, in our case, we do because of scheduling of the CAs and the rooms.
Mm.
So it's that. So we do line up the clusters, but right now we've worked out the adjusting capacity. We've worked out that we're working out the tech capacity, and we haven't worked out the practice hub front desk capacity yet, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, we do line that up, but that is causing problems.
Okay.
Right. So we're doing 20 and 15 right now, and we're getting, you know, I don't know how many a week. We're not getting 20 by any means, but we're getting 5 or 6 20s, right? And yeah, it's causing a backup at front desk because of lack of safe training in confrontational tolerance of multiple appointment bookings and charging fully in advance. and also our permissive attitude. We're actually, we're doing 20 across at the first time, but we also might have 20 people showing up without appointments, right? Which is totally fucking things up. And that's because of a lack of confrontational tolerance on the front desk. Now, as a policy, we need to decide as a company, are we okay with that? Do we, you know, now the bad part of that is the people who are showing up when they're supposed to be showing up can get pissed off for having to wait too long, right? So do we take care of those 20 first and say to the other 20, well, we don't have the organizational resources right now to make that happen, right? So do we take care of the first 20, the second 20, the other 20 who came in, are, you know, you have to wait, and you may have to wait 15 minutes. Oh, you may have to wait 30 minutes. Oh, you may have to wait 45 minutes, right? Because you didn't come with your appointment. Or you came in 30 minutes early. Yeah, we'll see you at your time, but they're going to get pissed, but they won't come back at that time again, right? And all of that increases stress in the system with the human being aspect of it, which is where you're saying they want to not look bad. They want to not have, you know, they don't want to have unpleasant conversations, right? Okay, so the thing that we're having now, which is new with Practice Hub, so we got the app, and they're doing the self-check-in. And so before, we would have – do you guys have self-check-in or not? Or you just have the touch screen?
Yeah, just still the iPad and kind
of. Just the iPad, okay. Because now they're checking in from the fucking car park, right? So somebody who's seventh in line is actually first in line because they did the self-check-in, right? And it's creating bad vibes in reception area with people going, oh, what the fuck is going on here? Which is a problem that stemmed from bad habits and non-confrontational tolerance on our part, which is that there's a culture of, a very strict culture of, who comes in first gets attended to first, which doesn't have to be that way. Again, it depends on, now, when you shift the rules on a large cohort of people, you have to very patiently explain the shift in rules in a way that incorporates the WIFM for them, right? So it's not like, oh, we've arbitrarily changed these rules because we're dickheads and we're going to fuck with you now. Like, that's obviously not a winning strategy in terms of practice member communication, right? So there's got to be like, we've had it. We got this new computer system. It's been, the incorporation has been chaotic. We apologize for it. We're just doing it to try and serve you as best as we possibly can. And I apologize for the teething pains that we've had. From now on, things are going to work like this, this, and this. And you need to do this, this, and this. And it's going to run more smoothly for everyone. Oh, okay, no problem. Versus, no, you can't pass. He came first, you know? That kind of thing. Okay. So, who else? What else? Questions? Or more questions, Alex? What's the temperature there?
Very cold.
Very cold. You know why?
No. You can enlighten me if
for
you like.
It's for your sins.
I thought it might be.
Yeah, God's punishing you.
I have a question, Mark.
Go ahead. I had no doubt that you did, Robin.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
At the day two, you only tell them how often they have to come for the initial phase of care, for the stabilization phase, and how much it will cost. And then you send them home with this information so they can think about it and come back at the third day to get adjusted?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. First day is, we're going to, well, in our case, the first day is the class. So the first day needs to consist of, we're going to check out to see what your problem is, to study it, to see if we can help you or not. And so that's answering their clinical needs when they come in, all right? Their expectations of a visit to the doctor. The expectations of the visit to the doctor has to be addressed to them in a way where they go, oh, okay, not exactly a doctor, but close enough, and I'm willing to trust this person. Versus, oh, I've gone to see Freak Boy, who's got, you know, a bone going through his nose, and he's waving incense all over the place, and I've got MS, and I don't know what the fuck the incense is going to do for my MS, right? Like, they got to have something that's relevant to them that they understand that they can contextualize. Okay, so the day one is for answering those needs, like pacifying, and also telling them the chiropractic story. If you want to be a vitalistic chiropractor, you got to tell them the part, something that makes them go, oh, this is different. I want this. Okay. Now, I adjust on the first visit. I adjust upper cervical only on the first visit for reasons that I've already explained to you, but I frame it as part of the exam, okay? And then we tell them, so I tell them, and you can do it either way. You can, we tell them, we can help you, I can help you. I need to study this and figure out exactly the best plan of care for you, which I will explain to you on the next visit. Okay, that's what I say. There's lots of people that say, I need to study this to see if we can help you, and okay, I'll tell you on the next visit whether we can help you or not. Okay, so I choose the first one. So we can help you, but I'll tell you exactly what we need to do. Oh, but you know, how often do I need to come in? I'll answer all those questions on your next visit.
Okay.
Okay, that's the way we do it. Okay. Then when they come in for the second visit, we then say, okay, so then the format would be, okay, so you go through the history, right? So Robin, you came in, so I mean, you're complaining of this problem. You've had it for this long. It's affecting you in these negative ways. It's fucking up your life this way. You've tried this, this, and this. They've told you that you're going to have surgery. You're afraid that you're not going to be able to, you know, you're going to lose your job and not be able to play with your kids. And you told me that this makes you feel that this is absolutely terrifying you and you don't know what to do.
Yes.
Right. And you let that sit there and you say, is, you know, have I summarized everything correctly there? And you have to use their exact words back to them. You can't say, you know, you've got a, you know, you can't, you need to say, you know, I've got a burning pain down my right leg into my big toe. You don't say right lower extremity radiating pain.
Yeah. Yes. Right? Yes. That's
true. Okay. So it's got to be their words. So then how does this make you feel? Okay, great. Not great, but okay, I got it. Like I understood. Okay, so now your goals are this, right? And the goals are, you know, you say you want to do blah 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 with your life, right? Now, and that's our goal for you. That's what we want for you. Okay, how long do you think it's going to take you to get from here, fucked up place, to here, goal, good place, right? And they can, well, whatever they say. Doesn't matter what they say. They can say, in 2 weeks, right? It's like, well, great. I certainly hope so. But we generally find that it takes people about 2 years or 1 year or whatever you say to get from here to here. But that's too much for you to even contemplate right now. So let's just focus on the first phase of care. And the first phase of care is the stabilization phase. You're fucked. You're unstable. During this phase, which in our case is the, well, not in our case, but during this phase, twice a week for the next 3 months or whatever your phase is, we're just going to focus on the next 3 months or 4.5 months or 6 months. And during this time, you're going to come in twice a week for this period of time. Can you physically get in here into the office twice a week for the next period of time, for this period of time? Yes or no? Okay. Yes. Okay. All right, now, this is a shift right now from this week with my CAs because my CAs lack confrontational tolerance at the front desk, and so this is a shift that we've incorporated just this last week. So after, can you physically get in here twice a week for the next blah, blah, blah? Yes, I can. Okay. We are committed to your health transformation. We will be holding you accountable to this frequency of visits. You're actually going to get well and feel better sooner than this phase is over. And for some of you, that's going to be, you know, like you're going to say, oh, I don't want to come in on Thursday. I already went in and you need to be coming in. So we're going to be holding you accountable for this during this first phase of care. Is that okay with you? Yes or no? That we hold you accountable, right?
Yes.
And, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Great. And so if you miss 1 week, you know, you miss one of those visits, we're going to be asking you to come in 3 times the next week, right? Or if we're closed for vacations here for a week, we're going to ask you to come 3 times before and 3 times after. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Yes or no? So we're getting an agreement out of them. Okay. Great. So then when that's done, then it's okay. So now we need to talk about fees. For this fee, and it depends that you can do the Brad's classic structure of it is if you pay by the visit, it's 24 times this, it costs this much, but we're not set up to do that. You've got two options on how to pay. You can pay once a month, three payments of blah, 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 blah. It comes to this, or you can do a one-time payment of this, which is the greatest discount, and most people choose that. Which would you prefer?
Okay, I would prefer the discount one, the one-time pay.
Okay, great. But so let's handle your appointments. Let's handle your payment, and then let's get you started with care.
Okay,
they make the appointments, they make the payment. Okay, great. Come on through to the adjusting room, because I don't want the visit ending with them having to go, oh, fuck, this is a lot of money. I want their visit the fucking adjustment is great.
Okay, so payment before adjustment.
Yeah, for
out
sure.
Of this reason. Oh, nice one. I will fix this. And when they're
most people don't do that, though.
Yeah, because it's like, I think a grand something for you in some cases.
Say that again.
And it's like 1,000 euros around for the stabilization phase. And it's a lot of money. And a lot of people, I can assume, don't have it like lying around like, oh, 1,000 euros, no problem. Here's it for you. So
they do a credit card. They can do three payments. And also, hang on a second. If they say, so if they're like, I really want to start, I want to do this one-time payment, but I don't have the money on me right now. No problem.
That's the question.
Pay for this visit and bring it next time.
Okay, so you still adjust on this visit and the next time, I guess.
But only not, okay, so this is very, very, very serious conditions to this conversation. Only if they say, so I really, really, really want to start, but I don't have the money today. Yeah. That's if they say, oh, I'll think about it, then it's like, okay, you think about it. Fine.
Okay, yes.
No adjustment.
Yes,
yeah. Fuck off. See you later. Right? Okay. Obviously not fuck off, right?
No, I don't send you.
You know, but they're not getting, they have to, like, I really, really, really want it. I want to start now, but I need to talk to my wife about whether I'm going to do the three payments or the one payment or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay, no problem. Just pay for this visit and then come back on the next visit and we'll settle up.
Ah, okay.
And we're not discounting it off of that payment either.
Ah, you have a one-time visit twice and they have to pay this one-time visit and then, okay.
Yeah, now if you pay now, you save that one-time visit price.
Okay.
And if you pay the next visit, then you pay that one-time visit price.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Anybody else? Any questions? Okay, so Soraya, Angels, and Nathan, put your cameras on, please. Hello, Sara, don't leave.
Okay, Mark.
Okay.
Good morning.
Cool. Good morning.
In relation of this question, of this scenario, do you allow to the person to pay visit by visit? I mean, because if they start one visit and the next day say to you, I will continue paying by visit.
No, you won't. Fuck off.
Okay.
No, you said you were going to start. Okay, I know. Okay, so how many of you are going to Cairo Europe in April? Nathan, are you going to Cairo Europe in April or not? Raise your hand if you're going to Cairo Europe. Okay, all right. Keep your hands up right now. Keep your hands up. Everybody who's going to Cairo Europe, keep your hands up. Okay, now keep your hand up if you've registered. Good. Okay, David, you're a fuck up. And Nathan, you're a fuck up. And now keep your hand up if you've done the hotel. You've done the hotel. Okay? There's a bunch of you who haven't done the hotel. You are fucking with me. You have to do the hotel. Do the hotel this week. Okay? You get off the fucking call and do the hotel. Okay? Raise your hand if you're committing to do that. Robert, are you coming to Car Europe? Are you going to do the hotel? When you get out the call, good. Uta, are you coming to, are you going to do the hotel? After this call, yes or no?
I'm coming to Car Europe. I booked the hotel, but they still annulated the flight for next weekend. So I have to check it that first.
And the I didn't hotel finish for my... Malaga, not the hotel for the hotel from Malaga for April. I'm talking about. Okay, please, guys, do the hotel for April, okay? Like, it is messing with me, and it's messing with the hotel, and the hotel's pissed off, okay? Because everybody's doing last-minute shit, all right? So book the hotel, please, and just get it out of my – so that I don't have to deal with the hotel people, all right? Okay? Yes? Hello? Yes? Thank you? Because – and this is particularly true for those of you who are coming here – next weekend, if you don't do it, I will piss in your food.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, what? But it's okay. It's vegetarian piss. Don't worry about it, you guys. Sorry. What are you saying?
La diferencia de este año es que se necesita pagar por adelantado, ¿verdad?
Yeah, you got to pay in advance. Entonces, you got to pay in advance. Okay.
The problem is if I need to share with my CA that comes.
Okay, dude, I don't know. I don't care. Book blah, blah, the room yeah. and pay for the room. Sort your shit out. Figure blah, stuff
okay.
out.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. What, I gotta come tell you how to deal with your CAs and booking room booking and all the rest of it too now? Okay.
Okay.
So what else? Questions? I'm looking forward to next weekend. A bit stressed, but I'm looking forward to it. Yes, Mariette.
How do you do your re-exam?
How do I do? So what are you asking?
What do you do on a re-exam?
Okay.
So after... Yeah, an X amount of visits, whatever you.
Okay, so refill out a form. Mm-hmm. Refill out a form before. Compare the two forms. It can be a different form, but it's like got to have points similar, right? Mm-hmm. How do you rate stuff? It would depend which one it is. Like the 12 visit re-exam is what we call a check-in. You can fill out the form and say, Marielle, do you have any questions? And just talk. And then 24 visits would be form. Questions, physical, or actually it would be form, physical exam, and then talk about the changes that have happened, and then talk about the next phase of care.
Okay.
You know yeah, what?
I was just wondering if people do all kinds of tests because I don't do that.
So we do tests. Yeah, we do tests. We do SCMG, thermograph, four quadrant scales, and posturometer. So we do that and palpation.
Yeah, but a lot of times what I find difficult is that sometimes, you know, I do it after 12. So maybe I should do 12 just to talk like you do, because then the scales don't show any difference, you know, and then they start. And of course, yeah, I'm not very confident in handling that.
Okay. But you can also do scales don't look very different. And then if they do look different at 24, it can be, oh, scales don't look very different. That's why we got you on 24.
Yeah. That's,
you know, that's part of it. We're doing blood work. We're doing an analysis of blood work, and you know, we're expecting to see changes by this time. So I'm expecting to see changes by the end of the stabilization phase.
Yeah,
we're doing this 12 visit check in on a twice a week schedule. We're doing this 6 week check in because you need to talk. Not like, oh, there's no changes in my blood work. This is bullshit. Because human beings need to talk. Just asking you if you've got any questions, if you know, what's going on with you. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Anna, Neil, questions?
Mike, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead. And your question is, where's the registration form for the hotel, right?
No.
That's not your question.
No, I like somebody else. No worries. No.
Then the question is, why am I such a dick and I leave the registration to the last minute? Is that the other question?
Myself every single day.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. What's the question?
Okay. Listen, we're trying to fix all our systems, as you told us before, growing up, okay? But things are going very fast because we have an avalanche of new patients, which is a very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how many, hang on, David. So how many docs have you got now?
One.
One. And which doc is it? It's a new doc?
Sorry?
It's a new doc?
Yeah, the new doc, yeah.
Okay, and it's a he or she?
As a she.
Okay, and how long has she been with you?
Since October.
Okay, and how comfortable is she?
She's freaking comfortable. And she
wants great. Great. Okay, so you got an avalanche of news, which means what? Tell me numbers.
Yeah, we made the annual meeting. We made the every week we're doing our meetings, and we set up very clear goals. And she wants.
So what are the goals?
200 this year.
Okay.
Before the year stabilized, and 150 before stabilized as well, the average before June. Right?
But before the thing June. Is okay, hang on. And where are you at now?
120.
Okay, excellent. All right, good.
Yeah, we went up to
take over.
Yeah, because we went up to 160 more or less with two chiropractors.
Right.
But then the chiropractor, we went down and we're trying to recover. The thing that
excellent.
So since we have changed our energy completely, and in this January, we have scheduled 52 new patients already.
52 new patients in January. Excellent. Sweet. Right.
So it's going to be.
Oh, like, the key is conversion. The key is conversion.
Yeah, we're converting about 73% right now.
Excellent. Good.
So it's good. And we have to set up the systems before it gets crazy, because it keeps on coming, right?
All right.
And I have a big question now, which is if I'm keeping the Glowacki system or I'm changing to open bonus, right? Like
I don't know what that means. What are open bonus?
It means that we have intensive care and we sell you the intensive care.
Well, that's okay. What Brad does.
Sorry?
That's what Brad does.
What Brad does?
Yeah, that's exactly the same.
Yeah, yes, that's what we are doing right now, right?
Okay, all right.
But I'm thinking about changing to, look, independently of the rhythm I am suggesting you to come, you can buy 15 bonos or 25 bonos or 70.
Okay, why? 15, why right? Are you thinking of doing that?
Because they don't have to sell again a new bonus. It's all based
wait,
on...
Wait. If you sell 50, how big are your bonos?
20. Well, you mean the maintenance?
You're talking about the initial phase, right? You're talking about the initial phase.
Yeah.
Right now, they have to pay for the initial phase.
Yes. It's a minimum.
What's the usual frequency of the initial phase?
Yeah, by 8. Well, 20 visits.
20 visits. Two by 8 and then 1 by 4?
1 by 4, yeah. Or
that's a fucked up frequency.
Or 2 by 12. That's what we're changing now.
Okay, so 2 by 12 is a much better frequency than a 2 by 8, 1 by 4, okay?
So the fact is that after the
So you're going to a 2 by 12, which will be a 24 bono, right?
Okay, that's what we sell. We can pay upfront or by installments, right?
Right, okay. And so instead of 24, you want to go to what?
To just say, at the moment, just come 2 by 12, and then we'll decide how you keep on going. But
Wait. Stop. I do not understand. So they have to buy a 2 by 12, yes or no?
Yes. Right now,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're thinking about going to... Instead of a 2x12, they can buy what?
They can decide how many visits do they want to come.
Okay, and what are you going to offer them as the products that you sell?
15 visits, 25 visits, 40 visits, 70 visits.
Okay, and why are you, what's the thought behind going from a 24 25 is the same as 24. Why are you going to offer a 15? What's the reasoning behind a 15?
Because they are going to buy, they can buy 15 visits after starting with intensive care. Like if they have bought at the beginning 25 visits, then they can buy 15 visits.
Oh, I got no problem with that at all as a second money thing. But you're talking about first money. So look, so here's the deal, right? In our office, you have to pay for your full phase, your first phase of care, right? And the first phase of care is either, it's either a 25, a 38, or a 50, okay? They have to pay for that. That's not negotiable. They can pay in three payments or they can pay in one payment, okay? If they want after that, then they can pay for 13.
Okay, as a second money.
Yeah, as second money. And now, like I got a conversation on Monday, we're going to do the club thing, which is going to be a domiciliación, right? Which is going to be a bank transfer, direct debit, right? Where you're in a monthly thing. You get every 4 weeks. You get 13 visits a year. You only pay for 12. You pay 12 monthly fees, and that's it. Or you can pay 12 monthly fees for one visit, for two visits, for every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, or every 4 weeks.
The fact is that I'm still thinking about doing the change or not.
The change to what? But I don't understand what your change is. If you're talking about doing a change to offering money,
I'm asking you. No, I think I'm not speaking properly. Okay. I don't know if it's good to make the change or not.
But the change to what? To offering a 13 or a 20, a 15 at the second month?
They're just the intensive care, like the 2x12, or offer different numbers of adjustments. Like
20 for first money, for first money. For first money, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's a good idea at all.
To change.
I would, you have to pay for the first phase of care. End of story. The twice a week frequency, you got to pay for it in full up to 6 months. If it's going to be twice a week for a year, you can do two 6-month payments.
Because as you know, every single practice has got its own system, and it's driving me crazy to ask people, what are you doing?
So okay, but then don't ask people what they're doing. Just go. Most people are afraid to ask for money. If you got a 75% conversion and you're selling 25 minimums, why are you going to fuck it up and ask and start selling 15s? That's just fucking crazy.
Okay.
So now, if you do 25, but you can also buy 50 or 70, but that's just, I'm just putting that out there, but it's a minimum 25, yeah, no problem. Or you want to buy a 50 or 70 and share it across your family? Yeah, no problem. I mean, I don't like the organization of it. I don't like the tracking of it. But if your software can handle that easily, yeah. But it, for me, it's a minimum of 25.
What I'm doing right now, actually.
Yeah, well, then don't fuck it up. And then second money, you can go, okay, you've been coming in here for this time. You got a choice. You can do a bono of 13. Which is the same for the same price per visit as the bono 25 that you paid. Or if you want to, you can go, or you can pay this higher amount per visit. I don't care. Do whatever you want. I don't care.
Yes. Yes.
Now, for obviously, if you want to continue with care, the prepaid plan is a much more sensible option. But if you're this kind of person who just wants to come in 2-3 times, whatever, you know, waste your time and money and want to give us some money, that's fine. No problem. It's more expensive, but no problem.
So what do you suggest about it's a completely different conversation for me, because I just relate the end of a care, the end of an intensive care with the end of treatment.
The money. No. It's not the end of the treatment. In the report of findings, there are three phases. This is for the rest of your life.
I know.
There's, no, 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 no. But you got to say this to people.
We do.
Okay.
We do.
So
we
what
do.
do you say about needing care? Look, so
in,
you're paying
okay,
for
3 months. I'm leaving. So I'm
in 3 months. You're leaving. Fine.
Sell again.
Fine. 3 months. You leave.
So I have to sell the next package again.
No, 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 no. You have to sell the value of ongoing care. Yeah, and you have to sell that. And you need, and if you're trying to sell it all at the re-exam, at the 25th visit, that's a fail. You need to sell it from visit 2 to visit 25. It needs to be ongoingly all the time. This phase is just, the deal is that chiropractors are selling miracle treatments, and then when the miracle treatments comes, they're happy and they're gone. Or they're selling miracle treatments and the miracle treatments don't happen and they're gone. But the end result is miracle treatments equals gone. Care of ongoing care of spine for the rest of your life because it's important and it's one of the mediating health factors. Oh, okay, I understand that now. Do you brush your teeth? Yes or no? Yes, I brush my teeth. Every day? Yes. Okay. Well, you need to get your spine adjusted on a regular basis as well, because your spine accumulates a bunch of shit. And so you got to clean your spine out.
Yeah, it's my notification at the beginning, and I'm sick of, I'm just tired of selling after the finish of intensive
care. Too late. It's too late. It's a fail. It's too late. They're gone. If they're coming in there, they have an expectation of this is over for me. Yay, I'm better, and I don't have to spend any more money, and I don't have to keep coming here. Yes, I love it. And then you're like, da, 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 right? And they're like, no, please, I just want to be free. They got to want it. They got to want your care. You can't sell them on anything. They got to want it. We're so fucking weird anyway. And if you're saying pay money for weird shit, yo, well, how do I explain it to my wife? How do I explain it to my family? Like, I'm already well. Why should I keep coming in?
So it brings me up another question. Apart from the health class at the beginning and the conversation you have in the first visit and the report of findings, as long as you have with them just 1 minute, 1 minute and a half to judge them, how can you locate them?
So hang on. It's not me. You got CAs, right?
Yep.
Okay. So it's however many people they have contact with. It could be one. It could be just a doc, solo practitioner. It could be doc and front desk CA. It could be a bunch of people in the office. It could be the screens in your reception area. It could be the messaging of the day. It could be the people in the reception area. Like, there's all types of contact points, okay? And now, what's the communication? What are the five things? And Ellie's not on here, so he's not going to give you the answer. What are the five things that people need to talk about? Anybody? Anybody? Hey, would you like to know what the five things are that people need to talk about? PVA, what?
The five things, the five factors of salute?
No. The five things that people need to talk about in their practice to help their practice grow. PVA, which means compliance, which means following your care plan and being a part of ongoing care, okay? Referrals. Office policy. You got to re-examine two visits. Your money's coming up. You got to have to pay again, right? So we got PVA, referrals, office policy, giving them the love. Oh, David, you look better today. You were a grumpy asshole all this time, and now you're actually smiling. I think chiropractic works. Okay? And chiropractic. So you've got PVA, referrals, office policy, love, chiropractic. Those are the five things you need to be talking about. Anything else you're talking about is a fail.
What's your office policy?
What's my office policy? That's the broadest question in the world. What is red, Uta? Like, what are you asking me?
To have an example to talk about. I think I didn't.
Of those five things, are you saying give me examples of those five things? Give you examples of those five things? Is that what you're asking me? Is that what you're asking?
What do you talk to your patients with the background of office policy?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Now I understand what you're saying. The one of those points. Okay. So it's the rules in your office. So Uta, next time you come in, we're going to be doing a re-exam. You're going to spend a little extra time here. Like, come, you know, fill out the form, or Uta, you need to fill out the practice form online beforehand to make sure that we have that, you know, 24 hours before your re-exam, so we can go over that and collect your results, or your money's coming up, or you missed your appointment on Thursday. You need to come in twice this week.
Everything about organization for the patient.
No, I'm talking about the way stuff works. The rules, like you keeping them on track. Right?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. To anybody else? Okay. Okay. That's it. So I will see some of you next weekend.
Can I still take a question?
You can ask a question.
Okay. I opened my working space meanwhile as the works is going on, and there are some who bought the packages, the half part, and the French part, they just came to the first adjustment and never came back. And it's really, I'm surprised, because the Germans buy the packets and the French people come to one adjustment and follow the French rules.
Hang on a second. Timothée and Mathieu. French people suck, right? And that's why you're in Spain, right? Okay.
Exactly. But French people, all is free in our system because we pay a lot of tax. So for us, the health have to be free. And the system, the model of the health system in France, it's you go to the osteopath or the chiropractor, and he have to fix you in one visit. But that's why we are in Spain with Mathieu, I think.
Okay.
And it's equal in Spain. It's really more difficult with my French patient than with Spanish people.
Okay, but it's still doable.
Yeah, I think because it's naive.
I've got French people who come in, who have been coming in for years and years and years, who follow the recommendations. So it's still doable. But the whole point is you have to say, you've come in with this is what we do. You've come in with these expectations. This is why what we do here is valid and important or essential for you, for your health. And if you don't do this, your life is going to be shit. Now, you can go ahead and have a shit French life if you want, you know, or you can come over here and have a wonderful life and enjoy yourself and be a happier person. So if you want to hang on to that misery really tightly, feel free to. But we're going to be having fun.
Can I say something?
Who is it? Yeah, Mathieu. Yeah, go ahead.
Like, for the French, I think that, like, you have to scare them a little bit. Like, you have to say, like, you're really fucked up and you've been doing this wrong for so many years. And if you want, like, a better quality of life, and if you want to, like, make it right, just do what I say. You have to be, like, a bit authoritarian. Like, it's sad, but it is.
I'd say that's probably, I think that's true everywhere, actually. I think it's true. I think there's just a different flavor of communication with each culture. You got to figure out how to do the dance. But I think that authoritarian part is really important everywhere. And we don't gravitate towards that. We want it to all be, oh, look, it's all loving, light, beautiful, you know, everything like that. And people just want that. And it's like, no, there's consequences to not getting adjusted. There's things that could be solved that you will not solve if you don't get adjusted. There's things that if you got adjusted for enough visits would get resolved. And there's things that got resolved through adjusting through enough visits and you stop coming in and your health deteriorated back. So there's consequences to it all. So you do whatever you want, but I am not going to change my story with you about the consequences of not getting adjusted. All right. Okay, guys, I gotta go now. Have a wonderful everything.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful weekend. Book your rooms. This is for David. This is just for David. This is the Almeria special. Okay. Bye, guys.
Thank you all.
Hi. Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Be bad.
Ciao.
Be bad. Don't get caught. Don't get caught.
Don't get caught.